we're in chapter 9 tonight. We're talking about this this man that was born blind, that Jesus came by and seen him and told him. Jesus made some spittle out of the clay on the ground, anointed his eyes, and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he would see. And he went and washed, and he came seeing. Now, this is sort of review to catch us up. The neighbors, therefore, and they that had seen him before that was blind said, "Is this not he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, it's like he." But the man said himself, "I am he." Now, like I was saying, he evidently looked a lot different. You see somebody sitting there, their eyes all closed, and probably maybe not in very good clothing or something, begging. And then you see somebody that their eyes have been open, they can see, and probably they've got maybe fresh clothes on or cleaner clothes on. They're up walking around, and it's just a different process, different look at them that way. And so some said, you know, he's like him, others said that it is him. And then he said himself, "I am the one." And then they asked him, "How were the eyes open?" And he told them that a man called Jesus made clay and anointed his eyes and said unto him, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they asked him, they said unto him, where's Jesus? Where is he? He said, "I know not." So they brought him then to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, it was on the seventh day when Jesus did this and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he explained to them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath." Others say, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. And so some were saying, you know, the Pharisees, of course, they were trying their best to condemn Jesus. They did not want to give him the praise for anything. And they said, "Well, you know, this man's a sinner. He's broke the seventh day law." Well, again, Jesus, when he healed the man at the pool at Bethesda there, they accused him of the same thing. And Jesus told them, that's when he told them, "Well, you know, if circumcision has to fall on the eighth day and that's on the seventh day, you circumcise that child." Well, is that more work than saying to the man, "Go wash your eyes and you're healed"? They just were not honest at all, and they were trying their best to find a way to entrap him. And so they said then, you know, there was a division among them, because some are saying, you know, if this man is a sinner, like you say, God is not going to permit him to perform these miracles. And this miracle was a special miracle, because later on in the chapter, we're going to see that this man says it's even from the beginning of the world, it hadn't been known that somebody that was born blind was now able to see. Now, a lot of people that were blind, Jesus healed those that were blind, but it doesn't say anything about them being born blind, but evidently maybe they were blinded after they had lived a while and done something to cause the blindness or something, or had some kind of disease. And so the Pharisee says he's not a God because he don't keep the second. Other says, how can you say that? How can you say he's a sinner when he can perform these miracles like this? And so there was division among them. So they said to the blind man, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes. The blind man said, he's a prophet. Do you know if they would admonish Jesus as a prophet, the seventh-day law would have no longer come into effect, because that didn't apply. The seventh-day law didn't apply to the prophets as far as doing prophesying and doing good work. And so, but they would not admit that. And so notice then, they said, but the Jews now, notice, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents, the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Who do you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Now his parents were afraid of being put out of the synagogue, and so their answer was, they answered them and says, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Now that they probably knew, no doubt the news had traveled, or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. He shall speak for himself. Now again, we need to realize probably when he said he is of age, he was at least probably 30 years old, because that's how old a Jewish person was when they were considered to be at age. And so he was a grown man and had this disease all these years. And so notice these words pique his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And like I was telling you last week, when they put somebody out of the synagogue, it completely destroyed them. It destroyed them because they could not worship. It destroyed them because nobody would socialize with them. And it destroyed them because if they were in business for themselves or worked, nobody would give them a job or anything. I mean, it was complete, taking everything away from you. And so that's why the people were so concerned about being put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, again, he is of age, asked him. Then again they called this man. Now they'd already asked him once. He had told him exactly. And so they said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. And the man answered, This blind man really put the Pharisees or the Jews down when he answered the way he answered them. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And then they said unto him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And notice what he said to him. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? And so he is saying, look, you know, you came to me once. You asked me, how was I healed? I told you the man made this spittle. He put it on my eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll be able to see. I did, and now I see. And what difference can I tell you the second time? See, they were trying to find something that they could latch onto to say that Jesus wasn't from God. Now, again, yes.
Synagogue and their social circles. This guy was probably a social reject, so he didn't have social circles. He clearly didn't have a livelihood. He was blind, and he already had this happen to him, so he was more than willing to stand up to those Jewish leaders. So all three of those things didn't necessarily apply to him, right? Because it would have applied to his parents. They were still dependent on all those things, and so he could be much more bold having this happen to him, to stand up to them in that environment.
By being blind, like you say, he probably never had those before.
Right.
But anyway, I think the fact that, and I think, wouldn't you be the same way if you were born blind and they kept questioning you? How would you answer? I mean, you tell them the truth, but wouldn't you be firm about it and say, look, this is the way it was? And so he tells them then, they say unto him, now notice, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As to this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now, again, they knew where he was from. Turn back just a minute to the last couple verses in chapter 5 and look at this. Look at 45, 46, and 47. He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Notice, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how should you believe my words? And so they said, oh, we know God spoke to Moses. Well, Jesus told them, hey, you know, Moses wrote of me. And if you believe what Moses said, you would know who I am. Moses said that God was going to send a prophet and you were to hear him in all things. He would be like unto me and you're to hear him in all things. And this man has told him when they asked him, who do you think he is? He said, well, I think he's a prophet. What did the woman at the well say when he told her that, hey, you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband? What did she say he was? I perceive you're a prophet. They knew he was. And so they just would not, they was trying to find a way to get out of this. Notice, the man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now look at verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. The man is simply telling them, if this man is a sinner, he cannot do this. And no sinner could do it. Only somebody, you remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he says, no man can do these miracles except what? God be with him. There's nobody else. That was the reason. Now, when you get to this place where it says, we know that God heareth not sinners. Certainly, a lot of times in the Old Testament, we read, and I won't have you turn to these, but I'll just read them to you. God will not answer the wicked, 1 Samuel 8 and 18. God will not hear the cry of the godless, Job 27, 9. I will not answer the wicked, Proverbs 1, 28. When you make prayers, I will not hear, Isaiah 1, 15. You know, there's two verses I want you to remember, and they're easy. They're easy. They're further on in the book of John, but it's good that we would look at them right now. John 15, 14, John 14, 15, and John 15, 14. It should be easy to remember. Just 14, 15, 15, 14. 14, 15, Jesus says, If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so we need to keep that in mind. God is going to bless those that keep his commandments. Now, a good verse to show that what God, how God feels about this, let's turn to Isaiah 59 and verse 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So sin separates from God. You see, God, really, when you think of it, God only hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, he hears the other prayers, but the prayers of the righteous, because we're part of his family, we have that privilege to call him our Father. And Jesus is our elder brother. And because we're part of that family, we have the right to pray to God, and he'll hear us. But God never promised to answer prayers of, as we looked at some of these places in the Old Testament, of the wicked and the others. They've separated, your sins and iniquities have separated you from God that he will not hear. And so when you think of this, you think of people today that simply say, all you got to do to be saved is just pray through. What a disaster that is. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. Where in the Bible did any of the apostles or any of the inspired teacher tell someone, will you get down and pray and Jesus will enter into your life? No place. You know, I think where they get this from, really. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and that was what they did. You would go, the preacher would preach, and you would go up, and if you were going to be obedient, you would kneel down and you would pray the sinner's prayer, and they would say, well, God has come into your life because you gave your life to him. And then they would have a second, what they called a second working of grace. I don't know, you ever heard of that, Mark? The second working of grace was when you come back and you pray again, then the Holy Spirit comes into your life and it seals you and makes you where you can't sin. Now, that's really what they teach. That's amazing, but I mean, it sounds good, but it's just not Bible. It's just not what the Bible says about it. Yes?
Just real quick, Aaron Carpenter, Gospel Broadcasting Network, had a debate, a discussion with the guy just this past week, almost 3 hours long, on this subject, and this verse came up. And what this guy was saying, you don't have to be baptized, because Paul, who prayed to Jesus, was penitent, because God only hears the praise of the righteous. He therefore was righteous. God forgave him, and Ananias didn't know what had happened, and he baptized him just based on the commission. So, you know, the point was that you can pray and be righteous because God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous and the sinful. Completely wrong. Everybody here should go listen to that discussion. It's two and three quarter hours long. It's on Gospel Broadcasting Network. Go and listen to it. Listen to it in your car on Bluetooth. And see the arguments that these guys make. And Aaron's, it's on Acts 9, right? Acts 9, Acts 22, mm-hmm. Acts 26, and then John 9, with this verse over here. That's the crux of the whole thing. It's mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about. I think everybody should go listen to it.
Yes, it's damaging to people because they get the false idea that they're saved when they're not really saved. I mean, you know, somebody told me one time, said, you know, if you can prove that Jesus taught the plan of salvation, then, but you guys, you people from the Church of Christ, you have to go to the book of Acts, and you know, and get all this. Well, I thought about that, and I got thinking, can I prove that it was Jesus who said this? And you know what? I found out I can. John 8:24 says, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Luke 13:3 says, Jesus says, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Matthew 10:32-33 says, whosoever confesses me before my Father in heaven, before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. Whosoever denies me before men, I'll deny him before the Father in heaven. That's Jesus saying this. Mark 15:15-16. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus did not teach any different than what the apostles taught. That's the same thing that was taught on the day of Pentecost, the same thing that all those in the book of Acts is taught. And so, if somebody tries to tell you that, you just show them from those scriptures that it was Jesus that said these things. And so, it's important that we know. But if you would, turn with me to Luke 18. I want to show you this. And I think that, like I say, growing up in the Pentecostal church and seeing this, I think this is where they come for their salvation on this praying through. Notice it said, Luke 18, verse 8. Verse 9, it starts. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. Fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now see, they say that all you got to do is acknowledge, God, I'm a sinner. Well, the thing wrong with this was under the law of Moses. These men already were in a relationship with God. If not, why would they be going to the temple to pray? They were already in a relationship with God. And in the second place, this is just showing that this is a lesson on humility and not on salvation. Notice this Pharisee stood and he prayed of himself and he says, God, I thank thee, I'm not like other man, I'm not an extortioner, unjust, or adulterer, or even like this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give all that I possess. In other words, someone says he has the eye disease. I do this, I do that. Instead of saying, God, I'm grateful I can support you or give to you or whatever. And so, I think from this, they take this as a way of salvation. God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man went away justified. Well, these men were in a relationship with God already because they went to the temple to pray. It was under the law of Moses. It wasn't anything about the plan of salvation. It was about, notice the end of the parable says, he that exalted himself shall abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. It was about humility being taught, not about any plan of salvation. But you got to be very careful. People have very, very different types of things to be saved. And this is just one of them. Like I say, you got men like Franklin Graham on TV saying this. How many people do you think believe that? How many think, well, here's Franklin Graham. He's the son of Billy Graham. He's really great. And that's what he says. And so, again, remember those two verses I told you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And baptism was a commandment, according to what Peter told Cornelius. He commanded them to be baptized. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I tell you. And so, again, just remember, those are easy to remember. John 14:15, John 15:14. And so, the book, when John wrote the book of 1 John, he wrote that, you know, there's these people that you talk to like that say, oh, I know God. But you know what John said about knowing God? Turn to the book of 1 John just a minute and look at this. Look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 2. Look what it says. Hereby we know that we know him, notice, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How do we know Christ? If we keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And like I say, you can see all through the Bible, the plan of salvation, how through what Jesus taught and what the book of Acts teaches, that what a person has to do to be saved. And that's how we know that we know God. If we keep his commandments. We don't know by any certain feeling or anything like that. But that's what people say. Oh, I feel it right here in my heart, you know. So it must be true. We don't know by that. But we know because of what the Bible says. And if we strive to do that, then we can be what God wants us to be. So when he said then that God hears not sinners, you know, there are times that God heard sinners, in a way. For instance, in Acts chapter 10, remember a man named Cornelius? He was a man that was a good man that gave alms to people, prayed to God always, and evidently he was praying for salvation. And what did God do? He sent Peter to him. I think that's a fulfillment of what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. I think if anybody is truly searching for the truth, that somebody will come along and teach them. That God allow that. And so he answered Cornelius' prayer, although He didn't answer it to say that you're saved, Cornelius, or anything like that. He answered it in the fact that he sent Peter. You remember this? If anybody could be saved on merit, Cornelius could. He was one that prayed to God always. He gave alms to the people. He had a good report among the Gentiles and the Jews. He had a good report among them. He was a good man. You couldn't probably find somebody better than that even today when you talk about it. But he was still a lost man because he had not contacted the blood of Christ. And when Peter came and taught him, then he commanded them to be baptized. And Cornelius then became a New Testament Christian. And so God does hear certain ones, but not to say that you're saved, but to say, you know, if you want to be saved, keep striving to do this and keep searching for truth and righteousness. Yes.
It's not here and then, but those that are seeking, certainly.
Yes.
How would anybody find the truth?
Right.
You're all in sin. But if you're right, praying and seeking and searching for righteousness, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, then notice then, he said, we know then that God heareth not sinners. God's not going to perform this miracle for a sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Notice then, and this is what I was talking about before. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? In other words, this was a great miracle that was performed. This man had been blind probably, like we've seen, maybe over 30 years. I don't know how old he was, but his parents said he's of age, and that seemed to be at least 30. And so He said, then, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Notice, they answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You know, here we are. Hey, we're the authorities. You were one born in sin, probably because he was born blind. Now, Jesus had already said that neither he sinned nor his parents sinned. But he is probably thinking, because you was born blind, you was born in sin. And here you are trying to tell us, you know, it's like somebody talking to the Pope and telling the Pope what to do. You know, you don't, we're the authorities. You don't tell us this. And so yeah. Right. 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 And so they cast him out. And like I say, he probably, like Jason was saying, he probably didn't care as much for this as his parents did. But he knew that, and do you blame the guy? If I had been blind for over 30 years and somebody healed me where I could see, I would believe him. But I want you to notice this. And Jesus, they answered and said, you know, thou was born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the man answered correctly. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with me. And he said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. Jesus told him plainly who he was. Now, I think this is interesting, because when somebody really wanted to know the truth, Jesus would tell them who he was. But these Jews that were trying to trap him, he would say, you need to read the prophets. You need to go back to the law of Moses. You need to look at what me and my father are doing together. Because look for instance, we'll just jump ahead to chapter 10 and just look at these two verses. Look at verse 24 and 25. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, had Jesus told them plainly, I am the Christ, the Son of God, they would have said, what do you think they would have said? You blasphemed. You blasphemed and you deserve to be stoned. And he knew that. And so when he answered them, he answered and said, I told you and you believe not. Notice, the works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And so he wouldn't believe them because of what they wouldn't believe him because of who he was. And he would not tell them directly, I am a Christ. You remember he told the woman at the well? She said, you know, I know that the Christ is coming. He said, I that speak am he. He told this man here when he came, I'm the Son of God. And I am the Christ. I'm the one. And so he would tell people that really wanted to know, that really was seeking salvation, he would tell them directly, yes, I am the Son of God. But to those Jews that were trying to trap him and trying to find something where they could put him in prison or stone him or do something or make him look like he wasn't who he said he was, he would not.